as we look at the epistle of 1 Timothy tonight, understanding that the epistles of Timothy, or the letters to Timothy, are the letters written by the Apostle Paul to his protege, his son in the faith, Timothy. Paul had left Timothy in Ephesus to pastor and lead that local church there. So these letters are Paul's instructions to this young pastor in many aspects of pastoring a local church. What I love about Paul is that serving the Lord Jesus Christ is never just an academic endeavor. As you look at Paul and his writings and his life and how he's communicating to Timothy here, as Paul writes, it's not about rules. And it's not about religion, and it's not about rote. As you read the Apostle Paul, what you find is you find over and over and over again a man whose heart is overwhelmed by God. And church, that's what I want tonight. I don't want this to just be rules, and I don't want this life to just be religion or just be rote that we come Sundays and Wednesdays because it's just what we do. I want my heart to be overwhelmed by the one true living Almighty God. And so tonight, I want us to kind of look at this and how Paul brings some of this to light in verses 15 through 17 and see a heart that not only has the content, but the heart that has a consciousness of God that we regularly find ourselves in awe, overwhelmed by God. We're going to look at this a little bit backwards tonight. So let's start in verse number 17, all right? The Bible says this, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now you got to work with me a little bit tonight. This is one of those verses that, and this is a little bit dangerous on a Wednesday night, I know. So this is me extending trust to you, okay? This is one of those verses that I think is best read, almost best listened to, having your eyes closed and just imagining. Now, I know as soon as I tell you to close your eyes at 7 whatever on a Wednesday night, I'm asking for trouble, all right? But work with me a little bit. Just picture this in your heart tonight. As Paul says this, he says, "Now unto the King." Just get that in your head. The King. The King. Eternal. The King. Immortal. The King. Invisible. The only wise God. Can you see the King tonight? The King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Let me ask you this. You ever just stop and take time to meditate on, to imagine, to take in the majesty of God? You see, one of the ways that Paul stayed overwhelmed by God was that he stayed overwhelmed by divine majesty. You look at the scriptures and I tell you, if we just allow our hearts time to stop and meditate on the scriptures of the majesty of God. Look at a few of these with me. Later in 1 Timothy, Paul said this, chapter 6, beginning in verse number 14. He said, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus." You ready? "Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate." I don't even know how to imagine that word. That's a cool word. Potentate. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just meditate on it tonight. Who only, get the picture, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Just meditate on it tonight. Or where the psalmist wrote in Psalm 24, beginning in verse number 7, he said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Can you see him approaching tonight? I mean, I know. We're so mature that it's hard for us to just imagine. But tonight, just let your spirit run away. Imagine the King of Glory coming in. Look at verse number 8. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Can you picture Him? Verse number 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. I think about Isaiah chapter number 6, where the Bible says this. Beginning in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Just picture it. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse number 6 says this, Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 6. I will pause right there, that's fine. Move on to Revelation chapter 1. I got to get through it tonight. I got a lot of scriptures. Revelation chapter 1, stay with me. Verse number 13, it says this, In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Verse number 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he which liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Can you see the King tonight? Church, sometimes it's good for us just to pause and be overwhelmed by the majesty of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of Christians who are not overwhelmed by God's majesty. There's a lot of us, even in our own hearts, we recognize tonight, it's been a minute since we have truly been overwhelmed by the majesty of God. And you know what I find? I find this in my own heart, that when I seem to be becoming accustomed to the majesty of the King, I'm really not becoming accustomed to the majesty of the King. I'm really losing appreciation for the majesty of the King. Church, tonight, I want a heart that's overwhelmed by God. And that means I need to be overwhelmed by divine majesty. You know what's good for us? Sometimes it's good for us when we sing music, when we listen to music, to just allow God's Spirit to overwhelm us with His majesty. You know, sometimes when we're reading the Scripture, it is just a good thing for us to pause and just let God overwhelm us with His majesty. You know, sometimes we just need to stop. We just need to meditate on the Word of God, meditate on the things of God, meditate on those things that God is doing in our hearts right now. And in doing so, allow God to just overwhelm us with His majesty. Oh, you let God in and He will overwhelm you. I was having a conversation yesterday with a church member, and he was relating to me a little bit of what's been going on in his life and how he's been searching for answers to something and searching for direction to something and searching for answers and searching for direction. And he said, you know, preacher, you ever had those moments where it's like right there in front of you the whole time, but just like God takes those blinders off? You ever have those moments? He said, I had one of those moments today, and I realized that thing that I had been searching for so long, it was the Word of God. It's God. He's enough, preacher. And I mean, he started crying, and I started crying, and you know what? Overwhelmed by the majesty of God. Father, we want You to overwhelm us with Your majesty once more. We see Paul overwhelmed by divine majesty, but look what he says in verse number 16. I told you we're working backwards. Look at the end of the verse even, because we're working backwards. He says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to eternal life. We find Paul wasn't just overwhelmed by divine majesty, but that Paul was overwhelmed by divine ministry. That ministry he had to make a difference for God in this world. You go back a few verses in this chapter to verse number 11, we see Paul express it this way. He says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Can you see how full his heart is? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse number 12, he said this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, Paul's heart stayed overwhelmed because he was overwhelmed with the majesty of God and with the ministry God had given him. You see, Paul recognized, we laud the Apostle Paul. Ooh, great Christian. We laud the Apostle Paul, one of the wonderful men of God. We laud the Apostle Paul. God used him to write so many of the books of the New Testament and reach so much of the world. We laud the Apostle Paul, but you know what the Apostle Paul realized? The Apostle Paul realized that in his flesh he had nothing to offer God. Nothing. In fact, you go back to Philippians chapter 3, and all of the things he used to hold in high esteem, all of his heritage, all of his training, all of his accomplishment, all of his dedication to the minutiae of his religion, you go back to Philippians chapter 3, and Paul says, I count it all as dung. All is dung. That I might win Christ. You ever just stop and think about the ministry that God has given you and get overwhelmed by the goodness of God? For me, you know what always gets me every time? Is when I stop and actually look into the eyes of my kids. Sometimes I just kind of look past them, you know? You do it too. Don't judge me. But when I stop and actually look into their eyes, and I recognize the soul that God has placed in my trust. The soul that God has given me the opportunity to minister to. I tell you, I become overwhelmed by the ministry God has given. You know, so often we get this thing of ministry wrong. We miss this thing of ministry because we think it's something that's scheduled to happen once or twice a week at 1022 South Main Street, Clyde, Ohio, 43410. And that's just not the case. You know, sometimes we can do ministry here, but ministry is not bound to here. Ministry is not bound to here. Ministry is not something bound to this building. I'm going to tell you this too. Ministry is not something that COVID-19 stops. I'm going to tell you this too. Ministry is not something that any power on earth below or any power on hell beneath can stop. Ministry is not anything that can touch. You see, ministry, hear me church, ministry is the very way that we live to reach and love lost souls to Jesus Christ. You see, ministry is the very way that we live to disciple and to lead souls closer to Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Jesus said, ministry is as simple as a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. But ministry is always as profound as eternity itself. You know, we mentioned several weeks ago on a Sunday morning about the lame man laid at the gate beautiful and how many people walked by the opportunity for ministry because they were getting to what they considered a more important appointment. You know, you stop and think about ministry. Who are we to represent the King? Who are we to represent the majestic King of glory? Remember that picture of the King you just had? Now understanding we are His ministers. As Paul said, we are His. Paul said that He was a model, a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him. Who are we to be His model, His pattern of grace? Yet as His children, that is exactly what we are. Who are we to work on His behalf? But as His ambassadors, that is exactly what we do. And the reality is ministry is all around us. It is in every pair of eyes you look into. It is in every interaction that you have. The opportunity to love somebody and to make a difference for Jesus Christ is everywhere and eternal. Overwhelmed by the ministry God had given to him. I want you to see this last part. And for this, we're going to jump all the way back up to verse number 15. The Bible says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse number 16, he says this. Howbeit for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. You see, Paul was overwhelmed by the majesty of God. And Paul was overwhelmed by the ministry that was given to him from God. Because Paul never got over the mercy that God had given unto him. And you see, at the root of it all, Paul was overwhelmed by divine mercy. By God's divine mercy. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 9, he said this. He said, "For I am least of all the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And you look at a small snippet of what he did, Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," that's Stephen, "and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison." You see, when Paul looked at his life before Christ, Paul realized something, that he was not a good man. In fact, he came to realize that he was desperately wicked, dead in his trespasses and sins. You see, as a devout Jew, Paul would know the law. And he would realize, as a blasphemer, that he had broken the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments in the way he had treated Jesus Christ. He would realize, as a persecutor, that he had broken the last six commandments by the way that he had treated the church. As a devout Jew, Paul was very aware of the penalty of his blasphemy and his persecution. That word havoc in Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 3, where it says that Paul wreaked havoc, it has the idea of a wild boar being let loose in a garden or vineyard. Just picture it. They're worse than gophers. They're just crazy. And that's what Paul was like to the church. And Paul was well aware. And yet Paul here, don't miss it. Paul here points to God's long suffering. That word long suffering is Greek word makrothumia. It has the idea of a slow burn. In other words, long suffering is a characteristic or a quality that neither explodes in anger or implodes in bitterness, but rather long suffering patiently bears with. And Paul knew what justice demanded for every one of his sins. And so Paul was overwhelmed at the mercy of God that had patiently bore with him every time he blasphemed Jesus, how the mercy of God bore with him. Every time he broke up a family, how the mercy of God bore with him. Every time he drug somebody off to jail, how the mercy of God bore with him. As he fought conviction, as the mercy of God bore with him, bringing him to repentance. In fact, Paul writes in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Amen. Christian, tonight, can we think of, just for a few minutes, God's long-suffering toward us? You know, I think about what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning in verse 9. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." He said, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of us. But we are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Can we think for a moment tonight about what justice demanded every time we sinned? Every time we lied. Every time we coveted. Every time, from the littlest that we were the youngest child with that awareness, every time we mistreated people, every time we gave into anger, every time we used profanity, every time we gave into lust, every time we sinned, every time we blasphemed God in our heart or took the Lord's name in vain, every time we sinned, do you know what justice demanded of us and from us? I'll give you a hint. It's at the end of the book of Revelation, and it ends with the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever and ever. That's what justice demanded. I want you to think about all the people who might have wrote you off back in the day. People who said, "You know what? Somebody who makes mistakes like that, somebody who makes decisions like that, somebody who acts like that, somebody who talks like that, there's no hope for them. God can't use them. Can't nothing happen with them." Think about all the people who wrote you off. But the long suffering of God knew your story wasn't done. I think about the reality if Paul called himself the chief of sinners. What does that make me? Probably the potentate, whatever that means. The reality is tonight I'm glad I'm not God, because I would have thrown away the clay of my life a long time ago. But God doesn't throw the clay away. And Paul overwhelmed by divine majesty, Paul overwhelmed by divine ministry, because Paul never stopped being overwhelmed by divine mercy. Church, I ask us tonight, when was the last time that our heart and spirit was overwhelmed by God? You know, I'm afraid sometimes that we have become so accustomed to church. Hear me now, we're coming to a point. I feel sometimes we have become so accustomed to church that we are losing a true appreciation for the King. Only by the King eternal, the King immortal, the King invisible. Only by the only wise God can one such as I live forgiven, live fruitful, and live forever. Hallelujah. What a Savior.